Have you ever wondered why steeples were put on the exterior of church buildings? Have you ever wondered why those things exist? And as you think of a steeple, it points to the heavens where God is. And often in a community, the tallest buildings in an area or in a town were what a community values most. And for those who were building church structures in various places in the world, oftentimes the church building was the tallest building because of the steeple, pointing to the significance of that place. When the bells rang, it called people to look up to the steeple and to come to that place where God dwells, the courts of the Lord, the house of the Lord. One of my previous churches was an old country church that the Norwegian settlers decided to build their church at the top of the highest point in the county. And in that little church building, you could see from miles away, even though the building itself is very small, it's smaller than our church building here today, and yet you could see from miles the steeple. We value these precious buildings that we call church, even though the church is the people, you and I. Now, we take great pains to take care of these structures. They're not absolutely necessary for the church to exist. This congregation itself used to gather in a building in Eden Prairie that no longer exists. But now God has us in this place, and we are the church. The people are the church. And yet, as we think about those physical structures, the place where we think we see God dwelling, we see the history of valuing that physical building extending all the way back to the Old Testament, where a few different physical buildings represented and actually were the places where God dwelled. God is inviting us this morning to come over to my place, come to my house, to God's house. And in coming to God's house, we hear the songs of the musicians who love to be at God's house. Open with me to Psalm 84 today as we continue to sing the songs of God's people, of people who love to be where God is. And I trust that that is your heartbeat today as God leads you to Himself, calls you to Himself. The psalmist in Psalm 84 sings a song of God's house. This is another of the songs of the sons of Korah, which 11 psalms are attributed to them. Remember, Korah was the guy in the Old Testament in Numbers 16 who mounted a rebellion against Moses. And Korah, the earth opened up and Korah was swallowed up into the earth. But the sons of Korah, his descendants, lived on, a few of them anyway, and became the singers, the musicians, in the courts of the Lord. They were kind of the worship team, so to speak. They led the singing in the house of God. And so the sons of Korah were the singers in God's house, and they write this psalm to us today, Psalm 84. And as we begin to look at this psalm here today, I want to say this, that there are three statements throughout this chapter that say this: how blessed, how happy are those that received this truth, received these truths today. And I want to say that that word, that Hebrew word, is asher or asher, happy. How happy or how blessed are those that receive these truths today. And I want to say this, friends, that even as I say happy and blessed, I don't want you to get the impression that Christianity should be always plastering a happy face on yourself, even in the midst of tough things that you might go through. I'm not promoting a happy-go-lucky, just keep grinning and bearing it, smiling all the time, even if you're really going through a tough experience. But I believe what God is going to share with us today is that He does give us blessing, He does give us happiness, in spite of all of our circumstances, because of one circumstance. God is calling you and I to Himself. And when we know God, when we have a relationship with God by faith, as we turn to Him, no matter what our circumstances are in life, and they may be tough at times, we can say, yes, I am indeed blessed. I'm indeed happy in the Lord. So the psalmist sings the song of God's house, and we see the treasures that God has at His house, that He invites us to come over to His house, to His place today. And the first is this, as we begin to open up this text, is that that God's house is where we find blessing. We find blessings at God's house. Look at verses 1 through 4 with me as I read this text. It says the pre-verse, "For the choir director on the Gittith, a psalm of the sons of Korah." And by the way, the Gittith was an instrument. So they're saying, okay, this is for the banjo or for the guitar or for the flute. We're not sure exactly what the Gittith was, but it was an instrument. They say, use the Gittith as you sing this psalm. This psalm. Listen to verse 1 here. And hear how the rich love for God's house that the psalmist has. "How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. The bird has also found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." Listen to the blessing statement. "How blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you, Selah." Listen to the singers sing about God's house. They love being at God's house, and they indeed say this: "Blessed are you who dwell in the courts of the Lord. Blessed are you who dwell in the house of the Lord." They are blessed by being where God is. It wasn't because they were at the building that they poured so much into. God's house is lovely, not because it's just a building, but this is a place where the living God dwelled. And for us, as we think even about God's house, and even as I say God's house, you probably are thinking about this structure, this building that we call church. And for those of us that take care of this physical building, it can be easy when we come into the church structure to look around and say, well, that needs to be fixed, or that needs a new this, or there's ants here or there around here. There's things that need to be done or taken care of. But with God's eyes, we can see that as we come into a place like this, which I believe that we can apply a passage like this to even our gathering in this place, that we do call this place God's house. That as you come into a place like this, you're coming to meet with the living God. The living God is here through His Word, through song, through the fellowship of His people. God is calling us to see with His eyes the higher truth that this is where God meets us. He meets us in His Word. He meets us in the Lord's Supper that we'll share later in our service. This is the place that we meet with God. God's house, I pray, becomes a place where we feel at home, where we feel comfortable and well taken care of, where we love coming here. The psalmist here loves God's house. It says, "How lovely are your dwelling places. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord." And yet, this worship team that was singing Psalm 84 was only allowed to come into the courts of the Lord so many times a year. If you read and study in the Old Testament, in the tabernacle and in the temple, they were only allowed to enter or approach the courts of the Lord so many times a year. And very rarely was one person allowed to go into the Holy of Holies, to the very entrance or the very heart of God's house. The psalmist yearns for God's house, yearns to be there, and so much so that he talks about the birds that are perching on the temple there. One guy, his name is Gridanus, says this: "The psalmist could enter the four courts only a few times per year. This made him jealous of even the sparrows and swallows who made their nests in the temple." The psalmist is saying, I yearn for God's house so much so that I'm jealous of the birds that are building their nest in God's house. Isn't that interesting? He wanted to be there so much so that he would almost rather be a little bird that's tweeting the songs. I want to be in God's house. Because that's where the living God is. That's where my salvation is found. That's where my life, my vitality, my strength in God is found. He says in verse 3, the bird has also found a house, the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. I'm jealous of even the birds that get to perch at God's house. And yet, we know this, that though this psalmist was only able to come into the courts of the Lord a handful of times in the year, and this psalm was often sung for those that were making a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to come into the temple, or to come to the temple, we see Jesus speaking to the woman at the well in John 4. And the woman at the well wanted to squabble with Jesus about where God's house was. Yes, she wanted to distract Jesus from talking about her love life in John 4. But in John 4, 23, Jesus says this, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. Jesus is calling us not just to come to his house, to be in his house. That's a good thing. He's calling us to be true worshipers who worship at God's house. Jesus is calling us to worship in spirit and in truth. Because why? Because in God's house we find blessing. What's the opposite of this? You could say, how cursed are those who don't care about being in God's house. Or maybe we could maybe press it a little deeper. Cursed are those who don't care about worshiping God. Other little g gods have risen in rank over the big G God. Is that you, my friend? Do you love being in God's house? Second truth that we see here of why God's house is important, why we love God's house, is this. God's house is where he strengthens us. It's where he strengthens our faith. Look at verse 5 with me. It says, how blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The early rain also covers it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. The psalmist knows that God's house is not only where he finds blessing, but God's house is also where he finds strengthening. And he talks about the highways to Zion. And as these guys were going on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, they were singing. They knew the way to get there. They were making a beeline directly to get to God's house. Think about you driving to work or driving somewhere familiar. You know the route like the back of your hand, and you'll go even without thinking sometimes. Have you ever done that where you're driving and you realize, I don't even remember turning, but I just know it happened. I'm just so used to going there. For those that love God's house, that's the same way. It's like the highways to Zion. They were making a beeline directly there. And yet, the road to God's house was not easy. They needed God's strength, and so do we. He talks about the journey to God's house, one where there's valleys. God meets us with strength. He says, from strength to strength. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appears before God in Zion. Derek Redmond was a British sprinter that won gold awards. And at the 1992 Olympic Games in Barcelona, as he was racing, he tore his hamstring in the 400 meters semifinal. But he continued the race limping. And partway through, his father came out of the crowd. And this disqualified him from the race, but he still finished the race. And his father took him up and scooped him along and they finished that race with the crowd going crazy. This guy that had a lot of strength needed his father to come and to carry him to the goal line, to the finish line. That's the way it is for this psalmist here. He needs the help of the father from strength to strength. And as he says in verse 6, he goes through the valley of Baca. Passing through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. What is the valley of Baca? The People's Bible Commentary notes this. Baca means balsam tree. But there's no place in Israel with that name. But this may be a figurative way of saying sorrow, because it sounds like the word sorrow. It sounds like he's saying, I pass through the valley of sorrow. Remember I said before, being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus Christ is not just putting on a happy face. Sometimes we go through valley of sorrow, valley of Baca. And yet, our Father comes and upholds us with His strength as we go from strength to strength, as we're on the highway to God's house. We come to God's house because we find strength. I'm so blessed by those that don't have any physical strength to even come to church, and yet their heart is to be here. I love hearing that. They say, oh, this happened recently. Somebody said to me, I wish I could just have strength to come for just one day, just to be with you. And they're referring to you. I want that physical strength. Even when our physical strength goes away, God gives us spiritual strength to love God's house, to want to be here, to want to worship, and want to find strength. We come here because we need God's strength. And while it's true we can worship anywhere and everywhere on planet Earth, this place is unique because it's a place where our faith is especially strengthened through preaching of God's Word, through the singing of songs together, through the fellowship. You can't find that mix in other places outside of church. You can't find it on a fishing boat. You can't find it at a youth sporting event. You can't find it in your bed sleeping in to get physical rest. God's house is where He strengthens us. Thirdly, God's house is where we are safe. Listen to how the psalmist sings about how he is safe in God's house. In verse 8, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold our shield, O God, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord God gives grace and glory. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is a man who trusts in You. God's house is where we are safe. God's house is where we find that we can trust in Him. We can rest in trust with God because He is our shield. He is, that word shield is repeated in verse 9 and verse 11. God has provided a shield for His people here. He has provided a shield through King David, as he talks about it, especially in verse 9. But then he points to your anointed, which is most likely referring to Jesus. We are safe in God's house because God has given us Jesus, the Anointed One. And as he dwells upon that, he comes to verse 10, which is a beautiful verse. And we just sang a song that echoed these very words. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand outside. A thousand is what? A couple of years. One day in God's house is better than a thousand elsewhere. Not only that, he says, I'd rather stand at the threshold of God's house. And if I could right now, I'd walk right out to the edge of the church. I'd rather stand in the doorway of the church in a low position, not even just barely my foot in the door. I'd rather be there than anywhere else for a thousand days. You hear the heart of love for God's house? I'd rather be there. I'd rather stand there at the threshold of the house of God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Why? Because this is a safe place. God protects us. God gives us, as it says in verse 11, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. We love being in God's house. This is where God dwells with us. This is where God speaks to us. This is the place where we meet God, where we hear His truth, His word. And we are loved by Him here. What's the opposite of this? If we are blessed to trust in the Lord, to rest in the safety that He provides, the grace and glory that He gives, what's the opposite of that? How cursed is the one who trusts in himself or who finds safety with himself? Sadly, we can allow our hearts to wander away from a desire for God, a desire for His house. We're all too eager to quickly excuse ourselves from ignoring God and from ignoring His house. And so as we conclude here today, I love this prayer that I read in one of the books I was using to study this text. And may this be your prayer too, as we examine our own lives in light of this text, as God is changing us through Psalm 84 today. They say this, and this could be your prayer, "When I am separated from your congregation, stir my desire to return again according to your mercy." Friends, I want to ask you this. If you don't have these same emotions or affections for God's house, why? Ask God why. Ask God to show you why. And if you say, "You know what, God, I just don't know." You say, "God, please give me a love for you, a love for your house." And you know what? He will. He does. But most of all, He gives us Jesus. Jesus crucified for us. In Him we are safe. In Him we are saved. In Him we are strengthened. In Him we are blessed and happy. And you know what? That's where I want to be. You want to be there with me? Let's go together. Let's be together here at God's house. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your word this morning. And Lord, would you stir in us a love for your house, a love for you? Would you bless us, O Lord? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.